the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So the news is a dream, so let's dream the news, guiding auguries to cooling out the conflagration. We re-welcome fellow anarcho, entheo, mytho, animist, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, herbalist, bard, wizard, writer, part of our metaphoric rapid response team. His website is otherworldwell.com. And I just love the Terry Pratchett quote from the We Free Men, "Nay King, nay Quinn, we will not be fooled again." So welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
So there's so many things going on. I think first we honored the conflagration, you know, Pluto, America's Pluto return, the conflagration, and it's, you know, we're all participating in this. Everything in the world takes place in our personal lives, some in a more harsh way than others. And I just want to say from Hay House, says, sending prayers today for all the people and animals of Lahaina on Maui, whose town has been destroyed by fire. Our beloved author, Apella Colorado. Yes, yes, friend, ally, radio guest, fled her home with just a bag and the clothes she was wearing yesterday. Apella, her daughter and granddaughter are safe, but her cats have perished. And the beautiful traditional Hawaiian home created by her late husband, a master woodcarver, is destroyed, along with all the sacred items that Apella has been guarding of for so many years. And we go, oh. So all solace, you know, to Apella, to her, those she cares about, to the cats who perished. And we go, ah. So it is harsh and wild out there. The fires on Maui, the fires on Rhodes in Greece, the fires, the conflagration everywhere. So we're here to cool out the conflagration. And then the challenge of not being taunted into polarity. It's a very challenging thing, right? Because polarity feeds tyranny. We want to spiral. So we want to dissolve all bamboozling, prison masquerading as freedom, chicanery, dissolving cults as toxic mimic of community, ladling out true community of democratic animism. And that's where, Sean, you and I, you know, confer often, in which we love the work of Dion Fortune in the 1940s in England, hired by the British government to do ritual to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion, and much we've talked about before. But I had mentioned to you going, Dion Fortune, wonderful mentor, not a barrel of laughs, right? Not exactly a trickster, but a grand dame, esotericist, you know, and she talks about, you know, maintaining an atmosphere of tranquility, even when bombs are falling. Otherwise, how would we have hoped to have been a nucleus for the nation's soul? And I tossed it to you going, Dion Fortune, wonderful, not exactly an animist, right? It's the nation's soul. So part of our aspiration is may the earth's soul suffuse the country's soul, right?
Right, yes. She did beautiful work at animating the spirit of a nation, but a nation is a human creation and is an idea. And while some of the images that she was animating did end up activating parts of the land, it's really the spirit of the land we need to be coming into relation with.
Right. Although in my Dream News Council, pretty darn cute, yay, hey team, we'll do more of that. But we did follow her counsel at, you know, to bring alive, you know, a powerful image. And what, you know, Pat Ewing and I and many had done in the 2020 election magic is to connect with and feed and animate the Statue of Freedom on top of the Capitol. It's a great image. She's very beautiful. She really is sort of like the spirit of the land. She's got feathers on, and she's got a sword that is sheathed of not harm, but discernment. And the only other Statue of Freedom is on top of the Georgia State Courthouse, Capitol. Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, way back then, I had pointed this out to great ally Robinette Kennedy, wonderful, many, many great being, person, and political activist in Georgia. And she said, I grew up in Atlanta, you know, and I've looked at the Capitol every day, but I never saw the statue until you pointed it out. It's like, I think that's great. So
right.
We like...
And of course, many depictions of Liberty involve her wearing the Liberty cap so that the mushroom is upon her head.
Oh, excellent. Right, so there's the animism. There's the animism that we want to bring into play. Yeah, and so we like bringing her alive. We did that in November of 2020, and I think the Statue of Freedom did some good there, and we just put it out for everybody, for all of our fellow participatory citizens, fellow animists, fellow anarcho-entheo, mytho-anarchist citizens, that it's a good image, right, to bring alive. And I've got her on my altar, right, there we go, with little cornmeal around her and a little trail of cornmeal to the Georgia state capital, Freedom, whose sword is unsheathed, right? That's the difference.
Right.
So powerful, wrathful Dakini quality to protect democracy and the earth, right? That's right. That's what we're working on.
Well, I was going to say, really, what she needs is a little bit of soil on her feet and under her fingernails.
That's good. Yeah. And then, you know, the mythic news is the news is mythic. I've spent, you know, enough time possibly praising the genius of the movie Barbie, right? And it's like, just see it. You know, it's a surprising trick. And my condensed review is to take something imprisoning and make it liberating is a really good trick, right? So there's that. And Barbie as Inanna, brilliant essay. And because it times with our cycle, Venus is in the underworld now. She's not visible. She's left the evening sky. So the myth happens in all of us. She's gone to the underworld in Mesoamerica. It's Quetzalcoatl. But to bring back wise leadership, to bring back liberated culture in each person, right? No kings, no queens, no heroes, no whatever. In each person. And the exact, what's called the inferior conjunction of the Sun and Venus, meaning not inferior like bad, just meaning it's Earth, Venus, Sun lined up, which will be August 13th, we might say it's the heart of all of us in the underworld. And what gifts do we all want to bring back, you know, for a sane culture? So there's that. But you sent me this great thing, the mythic news. It's everywhere. We do not hold up our snooty noses at anything, going, oh, popular culture. It's like, no. If the magic's anywhere, it's everywhere. No, not mainstream news, MSNBC. Although I have a great affection for Ari Melber. But you sent me this great Ari Melber clip on Oedipus Rex and the former guy. Do you wanna animate it?
Yes. Yes, and I'm a fan of Ari's as well. I love that he can cite hip hop lyrics and classical culture with equal facility. And he was looking at the whole Trumpian adventure, and he began by retelling the story of Sophocles about how Sophocles goes into exile in order to avoid the fate
Oedipus Rex,
that has been
right?
prophesied. And, I'm sorry, that Oedipus, right, goes into exile in order to avoid the fate that has been prophesied, but his very actions in doing so become the mechanisms by which the fate is accomplished. And how Trump began his presidential run in part to avoid prosecution, but the Garland Justice Department hadn't really been going anywhere on prosecution. But once Trump declared his candidacy, Garland had to appoint Jack Smith as special counsel so that there wouldn't be the appearance of partisan involvement in the investigation of a presidential candidate. And so in launching that early presidential campaign to try to evade responsibility, Trump actually brought on the indictments.
Right. Yes. No, it's great. And we do want to participate in ways that are good for everybody. I like the pewter shield of protection and self-collection for us all. Boundaries are good. Protection for Jack Smith, protection for Fonnie Willis, protection for, yes, the wonderful Monique Worrell, whom Ron DeSantis just illegally fired as state attorney in Florida. She was elected with 67% of the vote, right? Predominantly black neighborhood.
Right.
And she came out woofy. She goes, "I am your duly elected state attorney, and nothing done by a weak dictator can change that." And it's like, yes. Protection for her, for Fonnie Willis, for all the, for, well, everybody. protection for everybody, really, but especially boundaries. And it's like it's a good thing to participate in. And then, just we're meandering, but we'll find our thread. Do you know the TV series What We See in the Shadows?
Yes, I love it.
Yes, right. Okay. So I'm both late and early to this party. People, and it's like it's a comedy, but truly parody, satire, comedy about vampires. But what's pertinent, there's pertinence in everything, right? And I love the character of Colin Robinson, who is an energy vampire.
Yes.
It's so good. And that's where we want our pewter shields. So he sucks chi, he sucks energy by boring people like nem and nem and nem. And you can see people just passing out, right? And they go, energy vampires, very good. And then he says, "Oh, and it's a real feast when you go on social media and you just go tap, 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 tap. And within minutes, you can have hundreds of strangers furious with you. And that's so much energy to feed on." Anyway, it's really genius. And then just the wonderful quip where he's getting too powerful, and the other vampires are like, "He's too powerful." And then he makes himself into three of himself. He multiplies himself by three, and then the three begin to argue, and they bore themselves to death. Anyway, so I think this is all strategic guidance, right? It's like, let's
Yes,
just have the energy
absolutely.
vampires multiply themselves and then bore themselves to death, right?
Yes.
They do come back, but yeah, anyway, so it's very charming, everybody out there, and relevant, to the energy vampire. Hence, we want our pewter shield that we simply put imbue with dedication. Karen Sanders gave me this years ago when I showed up at her door, and she said, "You look a little eaten around the edges." I'd been on the road. And she said, "Here's this simple thing." And Karen's so strong and powerful, and so anything that she suggests is worth experimenting with. She said somebody just taught her this, which is, we can all do it now. She said, "Imagine pouring iridescent dust from over your head, from head to toe, and then snapping your fingers and putting the intention into it. Let that which is not good for me and my dedicated purpose be swept from my path, and that which is good for me be magnetized into intimacy." And it's such a great little thing, because it saves so much time. People didn't call back. No need to be harumphy. Must not have been good, right? It frames the whole day. So I just wanted to bring that in. Our boundaries. And let me just toss back to you, where you've taught in so many venues and are cahooting, and your own independent cahooting, which is splendid. Mugwort. Mugwort is about protection and dreaming, right?
Yes. And it's a modulator with dreaming. So for those who are too caught up in the mundane, it will help to open them to dreaming and to wonder. But for those who are entirely in the dream world and have forgotten to pay attention to the world around them, it will help to ground back into this world, and also helps to bridge consciousness in other parallel ways as well. One of the ways I love working with Mugwort is with musicians and writers and artists whose creativity is really liberated by cannabis, but who space out actually creating the work once they have the vision. And so I have them put a pinch of mugwort in with their cannabis, and to a person they report that they actually end up following through on the creations.
Excellent. No, I love that. I love that. And so I like to put a little mugwort, yes, in my smoking mixture, and then also put a little bit of mugwort around the Capitol and the Statue of Freedom and our property and anything, right? And it's so charming because, you know, it is important around the world. It's especially important in Ukraine. It is thought of as something that protects borders. And the shows we did with wonderful Max Dashew, in which she said, you know, the word Chernobyl means mugwort. And it's such a great story that she tells. Well, I'll tell it again, even though many people probably already heard it, but very briefly, because it's all about the descent to the underworld, which is a big theme now. Even though it's summer in the north, we're still descending into the underworld, the conflagration and all. And it's a maiden walking through the woods, and she falls into a pit of serpents, and they keep her there for a season, and then they form a ladder in which she may emerge. And the queen of the serpents says, "We have whispered into your ears all of the secret guiding wisdom of the earth so that you may undulate and cooperate. But you must never say the secret name for mugwort, which is Chernobyl, or you will forget." Right? It's a tricky thing in fairy tales, right? So the maiden goes, thank you very much. Okay, all right, here, off we go. And somebody pretty soon asks her, "What's that plant?" And she goes, "Chernobyl." Oh, no. Right, so remembering and forgetting, and all of these many, many myths, the Eleusinian mysteries with, you know, more mega-dosing, not so much micro-dosing, but was all about, you know, everybody had a shared vision of Persephone descending into the underworld, a maiden returning an initiated queen. So this is in all of us, you know, and the descent of Venus into the underworld, you know, Inanna or Quetzalcoatl, the descent and the return, and that's available to all of us, you know, even the citizenry and the country. Let's go to a deeper place of dedication to collective well-being in order to emerge. And the heliacal rise of Venus when she returns to the world as the morning star will, according to latitude, right, whenever you first see it, right, around August 24th, around 5:20 a.m., she will rise, the heliacal rise of Venus, when what wants to happen is wise leadership, non-corrupt leadership, returns to the world, you know, and Inanna emerges also to rescue culture from toxic mimic of culture. So that's all kind of going on. And then I guess for all of us to think about, well, what in our own personal lives, what are gifts that have been dormant that we want to bring back now? And Neptune says, "We just want you to wonder." And the wonder will attract augury, like, well, what gifts do I have to contribute to the thing, you know? And then just to honor KPFA, when KPFA was born, the sun, S-U-N, was at 25 Aries, whose image is a woman bursting with gifts more than she can hold. And we go, yeah, you know, yay team, that's true, you know. Pluto is squaring it. And Eris, goddess of disruption, is at 25 Aries pretty much forever. Right, it's transiting that part of our things and that part of Pacifica as well, going, how do we cooperate with to disrupt anything in the way of liberating creativity? Let's disrupt anything in the way of liberating creativity. That's how I like to ruminate on it. So we have the great mythic news of Ari Melber, yes, Oedipus Rex, by trying to escape fate, one seals fate. And this is, you know, wild storms everywhere. Wild storms here in the D.C. area, too. You know, I mean, really wild. Black tornado clouds over the Capitol. And it's like the thunder gods would like a word, right?
Yes.
And in my own little neighborhood, there was, you know, we do come together with, you know, when it's, you know. So we had you know, tornado warnings and everything, but our cute little humble hood is pretty tucked down in a holler. But I saw a neighbor and I was like, are you moving your car? Should I move my car? You know, it's hard to tell. And I said, it's kind of like Appointment in Samarkand. You move the car from one place and you park it under the tree that falls down, you know, and we go, you don't know, you know. But back to the Ari Melber Oedipus Rex and the former guy, by trying to escape fate, one seals fate. That's really good. And then we have this wonderful clip from Trey Crowder, because there's a lot of great commentating people out there. I'm very grateful to Robert Reich, hello there, radio invitation, for alerting us to danger of Project 25 that we'll honor when we come back. But here now, very brief commentary from Trey Crowder. Here we go.
While Ohio Republicans heard that the people of their state might pass an amendment which would protect abortion rights in Ohio, and as soon as they heard that, Ohio Republicans said, well, the people of Ohio must be stopped. So they tried to pass another law which would make it so you need 60% of the vote for such an amendment instead of a simple majority. So basically they went to the people of Ohio and said, hey, y'all, we want y'all to vote on whether or not your vote should count. And the people of Ohio said, I think I'm a vote for my vote should count for the issue. And Ohio Republicans just started stomping their feet and making the shocked Pikachu face. Like, I don't know what they expected. Like, did they think people were going to line up around the block to disenfranchise themselves? What did they think was going to happen? Right, but this is their playbook now. This is what they do, y'all, because they finally come to realize that they are not actually popular. Right? It took them a long time. Right? They spent years and years just alienating and demonizing women and black people and gay people and trans people and Mexicans and immigrants and smart people and poor people and everybody in between. Right? They spent years doing that, and now they're like, why don't anybody like us? Oh, I don't know. Truly a mystery for the ages, that one. Right? But either way, they've come to realize it now. They know that, generally speaking, the American people do not agree with them on things like abortion, gay rights, civil rights, the economy, healthcare, none of it. They understand that now, and they've arrived at this conclusion. If the hearts of the people cannot be won, then the will of the people must be quashed. That's right. They know that in a functioning democracy, their policies would be relegated to the impotent fringe, and have decided that, therefore, from this point forward, this democracy should no longer properly function. That's right. That's what all this is about. All the gerrymandering laws and voter restriction laws and the big lie on January 6th and all of it. It's about this, the future of the concept of American democracy. And y'all, it is this close. Okay? But if you ask one of the members of their boogity-boogity base about it, they'll say, oh, no, we're not anti-democracy. We're just trying to protect against the tyranny of the majority. See, because just because the majority of people have an opinion about something, that don't mean the rest of us should be subjected to it. Okay, so you think instead those of us in the majority should be subjected to what you think about it? Yeah, exactly. That's what's up. Okay, and that don't seem undemocratic to you? No, because see, we got rights too. All right. Nobody's trying to take your rights. In fact, all we're trying to do is keep you from taking other people's rights, because that kind of seems like tyranny. Right? Yeah, no, that's good. See, our tyranny is good tyranny. You ask Jesus, he'll tell you. But see, you trying to take our tyranny, that's bad tyranny. What? What is wrong with your brain? Right? And I don't know what you do with these people, what you say to them. They're too far gone, man. But I think it's important that we all remember that at the end of the day, most of us are on the same page about most of this stuff. And as long as we keep our eyes peeled and remain vigilant like the good people of Ohio did, we can protect this democracy and make it through this mess together. Love y'all.
It's so good. Mm. Trey Crowder is, and I'll say he's kind of like Barbie with the movie in the following way: to use something imprisoning, like the good old boy thing, you know, in a liberating, lucid way is a great trick. And yeah, it was a wonderful scholar who pointed that out, you know, on Twitter. It is Twitter. It's a bird. Saying, you know, I've written a million words, but he really condensed it into 2.5 minutes. And it's like, it is good. Yeah, if the hearts of the people cannot be won, then the will of the people must be squashed. And then, as he says, it is this close, right? So it's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
And then let's bring in seaweed, right? So,
yeah.
So positive auguries. I was delighted and amazed to open the Washington Post yesterday, Wednesday, August 9th, and to see big picture above the fold, our teammate, Dune Lankert. Beautiful picture, when with his sunglasses on, kind of like Dark Brandon. He's a Sun and Cancer person too. Dune Lankward, who raises kelp, heads towards a kelp research area in the Prince William Sound near Bly Island, Alaska, the founder of the Native Conservancy, turned to seaweed to help buffer his communities from the falling numbers of salmon. Seaweed. It's a great story. I haven't even read it all, but I immediately dashed off like, hello, come on radio. And he's going, kind of busy now, but in a couple weeks. And we go, excellent, excellent. So yeah, so seaweed. Let me toss it back to you, Sean. Seaweed.
Yeah, well, seaweed is very dear to me because you and I might not be alive if it weren't for seaweed, because during Angortamor, the Great Hunger in Ireland, when people couldn't afford food, even though food was being exported from the country, seaweed and nettles were the two things you could gather along the countryside and along the coast for free to be nourishing. And the seaweeds also provided wonderful demulcent medicines for people dealing with the whooping cough and diphtheria and cholera and all the other diseases that were spreading rapidly through the starving population. So that gift of seaweed is such a beautiful gift of survival. And it's also very interesting that, the health of the seaweed and the health of the forest are both essential in the health of the salmon. And Ireland is just beginning to get a little bit of the return of the Atlantic salmon runs, as we are in New England as well. And so I think about people of the salmon all over the world and the relationship between the salmon and the forest on land and the forest in the sea.
Yes. You know, and the Irish saying, God created the potato blight, but the British created the famine, right? So
right.
There's that distinction. And I don't know, you know, would there be a tasty soup of seaweed and nettles that one might possibly brew? Do you know such things?
Absolutely, there would be. And I think one could just go intuitively according to, we have the wonderful option of a spice cabinet that our ancestors in Angortamor didn't have. But yeah, I feel like if I wanted to make a recovery soup for people, it would be bone broth, seaweed, and nettles.
Hmm. Well, that's a very good idea. Right. We're all recovering from something. Right.
Well, and of course, I'm also remembering now that seaweed, in addition to miso, was part of the reason why, although there were so many horrific cancers in Japan after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there weren't as many as there would have been because of the role that seaweeds and miso were playing in the diet.
Right. Yeah, if only they'd had miso. But we are lucky. We are all under adversity, and many of us also are lucky. Again, the antonym of grievance is gratitude. We're grateful we have a little bit of miso to put in our kelp and nettle brew. We're grateful, that for those of us whose houses are okay, the storm swirled around our neighborhood but didn't hit it strongly in D.C., but it did. People have died in Hawaii, and again, many in D.C. and branches and old trees coming down like crazy, and so we're really in all this, and we want to, Venus in the Underworld says wherever there's conflagration and too much heat, go to Venus, go to music and art and beauty and underlying guiding fairy tales and all of that to cool it out. And so on the other side of the break, we have a lot of things to explore, wise leadership, and we'll turn to Michael Ventura's fantabulous essay here, That Long Snake Moan, The Voodoo Roots of Jazz and Rock and Roll, and the wonderful concept of cool leadership from the Yoruba people. And we'll see what we're going to do. We're going to look at the Kennedy charts and the assassination chart. We'll see how far we go. But this is Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show. Our wonderful welcome co-cahooter this hour is Sean Patrick O'Donohue. His website is otherworldwell.com. And we'll be right back after this very short break.
Sheesh. shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his torus cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our guest again this hour is Sean Patrick O'Donohue, that we may be guided by the auguries to cool out the conflagration using all of our skills, all of our skills, you know, the decolonizing of every part of us, the practical skills, the practical, pragmatic, mystic skills, I mean, everything. You know, we're going down into a deep place, all of us, to bring back what we need now, you know, and it is America's Pluto return, which hums in everything, so there are things to be addressed. So, we're all aspiring to follow our own practices, right? And then we all blow it, you know. But I'm fond of the one that I crafted when I'm dealing with difficult people whom I perceived to be possessed, right? May we all awaken self-possessed rather than merely possessed. And I'm adding to that too, which is bogus be gone. Right. And just to let kind of trickster handle the thing, right? But there's much that I told you I found out an amazing thing rummaging around, right? In charts and everything, so RFK Jr.'s chart, I don't have his birth time in case anybody does, but I made one up, 10:16 a.m., January 17th, 1954, but, you know, who knows. And then, you know, his father, Bobby Kennedy, and I go, oh, wait, Bobby Kennedy Sr. and Joe Biden are born on the same day. I'm not sure what to do with this, but I want to put it on our altar of mystery. Like, what strange dream is being worked out here? And so Robert Kennedy Sr., you know, November 20th, right, the image for the sun that is coming alive by Neptune transit now is the king of the fairies. There was an Irish backstage wizard, part of Bobby Kennedy Jr., that he came in too late. I mean, remember, he did many terrible things. He wiretapped Martin Luther King Jr. He was, you know, again, he hung out with Roy Cohn. And then he had an epiphany and became, you know, a good being. And just the fact that Joe Biden has the same sun degree and that it's all humming, and we go, there are mysteries and complexities here. What is being worked out? And then wherever we might want to go, I don't want to trap myself or anybody in a polarity, you know, about anyone or anything that gives us conniption fits, right? There is, let me just put on our work table, you know, part of what many of our teammates, lucid teammates, are bringing before us, you know, and Robert Reich does a good job of this, and so does Trey Crowder, and so do we, may it be so. Project 25 is for everyone, all citizens, to know about, and it's the Koch brothers, you know, and also remember the Kennedy fortune was made with Hitler and Stalin, you know, all and the Koch brothers as well, and the Trump family, and so the money starts creepy, but so Project 25 is in place with the Koch brothers and the fossil fuel industry, that if any Republican wins the presidency, they will completely gut the EPA, deregulate all drilling, you know, and it's like, let's put this on our altar, team, not to make it grow, but to be alert and aware and to go, and to say, let's say that we're all dedicated to the idea of democracy. We'll bring anarchism into it, you know, but democracy, you know, and democratic animism, democracy animism, you know, for all beings is kind of the sine qua non for life on the planet. Do you think?
I do. And I'm thinking about this strange slip I've watched among so many people that I'm close to who began with their questions about vaccines. And vaccines are certainly very complex. And there are many nuances to questions about each vaccination for each person. And certainly pharmaceutical companies are not our friends. I personally think they happen to have done a good thing this particular time around for the wrong reasons. But when people began with their questions and then went to the people who had quick answers that pointed to a set of villains, and then began following the same people's trains of argument and trains of logic. And so now I am watching so many people who I know become suddenly climate change deniers through a faux populist backdoor, and how much the kind of fascism that threatens to take away our democracy, just as the original fascism does, wears this cloak of populism that allows it to be the toxic mimic and allows it to take advantage of the distrust people have in governments and corporations for very good reasons, but redirect that in horrible ways.
Yes. It requires all of us to have deep, discerning, non-polarity, diving into complexity to sift. You know, the Lammas, the Midsummer Harvest Festival just now, True Lammas was August 7th, you know, but it's about the harvest and about separating the wheat from the chaff, right? To throw it into the air and the chaff blows away, going, yes, there's truth here, and then how is it being used, right? So, you know, and that's why it's so good to speak with yourself, fellow anarcho, entheo, mytho, ally, because we have loved and do love anarchist principles, and then our own, you know, progressive left team, and that's why I sent you the Covert Action Information Quarterly, you know, essay on how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is being treated unfairly, which is half true, or something true,
right.
Mocked for some things that we agree with. GMOs are bad. Yes, stop that, you mainstream press. That's a true thing. Yes, the 2004 election was stolen. That's true. It was stolen by the people that RFK Jr. is now hanging out with, right? The Roger Stones, the Dirty Tricks team, the three members of Bush's legal team in the stolen 2000 election, who are all now on the Supreme Court, right? The Dementors have been planning for since 2000 or more, really, you know. And then the article goes through, you know, a number of, you know, fair things, you know. You know, and where, you know, this is where it's discerning. Some things bad, some things useful. There we go. The blocking of voices, yes. Because you were saying, yeah, and there are these tripwires, right, about vaccines and all. And I'm in accord with yourself, which is, yes, pharmaceuticals, you know, boogity, boogity. But this was a good thing, and there are good-hearted people. When I spent time in the medical underworld, right, it's like, all right, disease is a huge industry. It's like there's waiting lists and days for chemo for just children, and that's why cannabis was so useful to provide an atmosphere of magical self possession in that. But then always saying, and there are good-hearted wizards here. There are people doing great good, you know, and poisonous medicine is doing great good. And you had this experience too, and I know other people who were actually in the hospital with COVID, and friends of them told them, no, you don't have that. It doesn't exist. And it's like, Jeff. Anyway, so you ran into that, right?
I did, yes. I have friends who still believe that I was lying about having had COVID because of their certainty that either didn't exist or was extremely rare. But it's also very much one of those places where the logic doesn't add up, because I find the same people who question its existence are also very focused on the idea that it was a Chinese bioweapon. And
it doesn't exist, and it was a Chinese bioweapon. Right. Well, yeah, it's a mishmash, right? And we just want to see everybody connected to their own wise, sharp, calm, discerning, you know, going, right. And, you know, and there are many stories, because part of what, you know, Covert Action Information Quarterly that I have, you know, I admire them, not completely, you know, right. they're quirky on, you know, yay Israel, and quirky on, you know, yay Putin. And anyway, but one of the main things that they examine also is, you know, the criticism of the Warren Report. And see, the narrative in the Dream News that's important is, you know, a lot of RFK Jr.'s, you know, kind of team is saying, well, we must heal this. And we agree, RFK Jr., part of all of us, is seeking healing from this great trauma. You know, and I was at school with his older by 1 year brother, Joe. We were smoking weed in the graveyard when the Secret Service came to get him when his father had been assassinated. So I remember that, you know, June 5th, 1968. And that in the book on Mary Meyer by Peter Janney, which I like as a pretty darn good book, we're going to get investigation into the deep state and where did the thing actually come from and how have terms been co-opted. It's a pretty good delve. And again, for mysterious, complex, in-law relative reasons, I'm connected to Mary Meyer, who was born on my birthday, who was the one really kind of savvy, smart person that JFK had an affair with. And she was really like, you know, just, you got an opportunity and here, smoke this marijuana, which they did for sure in the White House, and probably a low-dose LSD trip. And it was after that that JFK gave his brilliant American University speech. On the anniversary of which RFK Jr. gave a speech too. Not quite as good. Okay, here we go. But in that book, there are quotes from people, and including Mary Meyer, who, after JFK was assassinated, you know, Mary Meyer's conversing with Bobby Kennedy Sr., in which he goes, yeah, the Warren Commission is complete bogus. When I'm president, says Robert Kennedy Sr., we will address that Warren Commission. Yeah. And so it's like, so that's, you know, that's not to be dismissed. You know, people go, oh, ho, ho, and people think the CIA killed, you know, it's like, well, you know, yeah, there's something sketchy there. I do draw the line at the self-aggrandizing, like the CIA wants to kill me, says RFK Jr. It's like, no, your friends, Roger Stone, you know, are much more likely threat, you know, their sketchy neighborhood. They would love you to be, anyway, there's that over there. But we want everybody to be safe. We want RFK Jr. to be safe, you as well, and just a pewter shield, there we go, and, you know, may everybody gather their wits. So conspiracy theorist about JFK, yes, that's worthwhile, right? And then you were saying backstage about the deep state. You want to bring that in, because that was originally a useful term.
Yes. Well, I first heard the term deep state when I was in high school in the 90s, and Bill Moyers was doing his reporting on what was behind Iran-Contra, and he began looking into the cadre of permanent employees of the CIA and the NSA and the Pentagon who continue from president to president and continue to pursue the same kind of agenda regardless of the political winds. And I do feel like that is a very real thing and a very useful concept. And yet I feel like we now have this cartoon version that's been put forward by people who are actually to a large degree aligned with the agenda of an actual deep state, to the extent I think they're accidentally aligned with it, but nevertheless aligned with the agenda of an actual deep state in many ways, giving this cartoon vision of there's this cabal of individuals who are making decisions rather than this institutional inertia, which is more complex and more interesting and more real. And then we also get the knee-jerk reaction on the Democratic side, where when a Democratic president is in office and the FBI or the CIA are making life difficult for people who we disagree with, suddenly we forget to be skeptical of them and absolve them of all their prior sins. And then the reverse happens quite frequently. I watched it switch back and forth depending on which party is in power, which party trusts and which party distrusts the CIA and the FBI.
Right. We've remarked with self-humor, too, going, it's trippy to, you know, we who grew up studying COINTELPRO and creepitude and nefariousness and much, you know, and the CIA, you know, Peter Jenny, Mary Meyer's family, except for one person, would not read Peter Jenny's book about Mary Meyer and RFK and JFK. They were like, oh, they think that the CIA had something to do with assassinations, and they wouldn't read it, right? And this is part of the ruling class going, no, the ruling class wouldn't off one of its own. That's where people really drew the line, you know. And and so it is trippy to have the nuance going, CIA, many things. Up to no good, terrible, terrible history, doing some good now. It's complex. We're going to have to mature, team, complexity. Bill Moyers, right? Bill Moyers was a hatchet man for LBJ, a ruthless, you know, fierce politician who, you know, politically executed, not literally, but politically executed people before he became this wise, avuncular, hosting Joseph Campbell kind of a thing. And also it was... an ally who told me I studied with Joseph Campbell in a kind of peripheral way, but we had a correspondence and I did admire him a great deal. And then a friend said, you know, Joseph Campbell voted for Reagan. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. See, nobody's perfect, right? No, nobody. It's like, oh, okay, we like this part, but not this part. So yes, the Iran-Contra deep state. And that's also where my hackles are raised, or conniption fits, or bogus alert, you know, when somebody presents a story of unity that is in fact quite polarizing. And it's like, no, you know, it's that, it's like, no, it sounds good, but it's not real, you know. And then, you know, for all of us to go to the underworld and come back with our discerning, right? So anyway, so it was an interesting article to read, the Covert Action Information, whatever it is, magazine, covertactionmagazine.com, attacks on RFK Jr. as a conspiracy theorist show all the hallmarks of CIA disinformation. Maybe, but there's some worthy points, you know, and then for us to sift through. But, you know, our show today, you know, opened with 19 plus Scorpio rising, which, again, great ally Sylvia Heider told me years ago was the medieval men didn't like that degree. They called it the accursed degree of the accursed sign, because it's a no priesthood degree. No priesthoods, no intermediaries, direct connection, participatory democratic spirituality, right? And they were like, oh, no, we don't like that. Its image is a person draws back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And we go, oh, we like that. That's why orthodoxy, the kind of deep Catholic state or whatever it was, we might want to just throw the term out, I don't know, but or rescue it, don't hard to know, but didn't like it, meaning no priesthood. And we're like, right, no priesthood. You know, just direct democracy, no heroes, no star, no magnetizing thing. You know, and when JFK was assassinated, you know, Ceres Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, was at 19 Scorpio, right? So it's like, yeah, we do want to investigate. We do want to heal this nefarious part of our history. We do want the Kennedy family to be healed. You know, and maybe that's what the campaign is about underneath everything. It's like, I just want to be healed, right? And we go, yeah, we want you to be healed too. We don't know if we want to fork over. Anyway, because a lot of the platform is of RFK Jr., it's all free market, right? So it's no Medicare for all. It's, you know, groovy, holistic health for those who can pay. And the climate thing that I want to toss back to you, right, is... oh, the climate thing, it's real, says he. And then a lot of his arounders going, but it's been bogus. You know, it's been overhyped. It's not really that grave, you know, and it's been used by the deep state to make people, it's like, that'll stop. You know, and this, RFK Jr., looking for dad. It's Biden is your father. Anyway, but same birthday. But, you know, is him... Oh, wait, there was a thought. Wait, there was a thought. I might have to hand it back to you to re-find the thought. What was I about to say? Or what do you want to say?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about the contrast between... I'm thinking about this whole interesting cast of characters. And, of course, we can say the same things of Biden that we can say of RFK Sr., that Biden spent much of his career as, you know, pushing... incarceration and pushing militarism, and has come into a place of being able to bring more compassion to bear, in part because he was changed by grief. And I think both men were changed by grief. And when I think about the brilliance of RFK Sr. at the end of his life, so much of it to me revolved around his willingness to go and listen to people, his going into Appalachia, his going into Bedford-Stuyvesant, and listening to people, and finding out what their lives were really like, and letting that curiosity and compassion guide his policy. And I think about in the next generation, to me, RFK Jr. is much less marked by encounter with grief and much more marked by grievance. And some of those grievances are legitimate, and legitimate grievances can be very dangerous too. But some of those grievances are legitimate, some of them are not. But if he could awaken to his father's curiosity, if he could go sit down with people who are facing climate disaster, sit down with people who can't pay their medical bills, and find out what the real lived experience actually is. Sit down with autistic people instead of calling us names. And have that curiosity and that compassion, then I think that grievance might be able to regain fluidity as grief again. And the better aspect of his nature, that aspect that dedicated many years of his life to fighting to protect people from toxins, might actually have the opportunity to really blossom.
That's a good vision. And so much in what, grief. And remember, it was JFK after, smoking cannabis and possibly LSD with taking it with Mary Meyer, that he came out with his AU speech. And the AU speech was about honoring grief and, mm-hmm. and inviting us to honor the grief of the Russian people who'd lost 20 million people. And it was such a great speech. It is such a great speech. You can listen to it. That Khrushchev played it in Russia. And it was about, you know, kinship and composting the military. It was late in his life. I mean, he had a lot of bad ideas, too, and the nefarious things in Vietnam and peacetime uses for nuclear weapons to blast, mountains away and many bad things, you know. Nuance, everybody. But what you're saying, and the thought that I forgot, that his, RFK Jr.'s, proposed solution to climate change is, well, free market. Just deregulate the corporations, you know, and out of the goodness of their hearts, they will come up with a solution. It's like, okay. So again, you know, in civil communication with everyone, it's like, well, did you know about this? And what do you think about this? Again, spiraling out of the polarity as a crucial thing. And then you bring up, you know, that grievance is a way of avoiding grief.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because grievance is really anger, resentment, and grief is really love. And it's all part of our dream, you know, the Kennedy family part of our dream, very nuanced and complex and many terrible things and good things and terrible things, you know, and all of that. And it's like, it's all complex. There's no simplicity. So we will keep rolling with all of these things, but also in the, okay, there's Joe Biden, there's the Kennedy assassination. In the Kennedy assassination, which has series at 19 Scorpio going, there's stuff to be investigated. But when he is assassinated, 19 Aquarius is rising, which is a white dove descends bearing a message of peace. And we go, right, events want to unfurl into their good potential in some way. So we just have a minute-ish, but do you want to waft out a well-wishing of some kind?
May we all deepen in curiosity and compassion so that we might be led more deeply into relation.
Excellent and perfect timing. And thank you so much, Rod Akhil. Skookum Bordop backstage did many great things. Thank you, Sean Patrick O'Donohue. And we will keep these things rolling and in conversation dedicated to democracy. And may we all bring back our gifts from the underworld. Thank you, team. We will reconvene next week.